presence is in this room, and that we can feel you in our spirits. And God, I just pray that you will be the head of this church, Lord, that you will be the head of this service, and that we may bow before you, and that we may just love on you today.
Yes, Father.
Thank you, God. Open our hearts. Help us to hear you. God, you have something to say to us today.
Yes, Father.
So open our hearts, and we just praise you in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Is this mic on?
Yeah,
all right. Okay. You cannot hear me? Okay, now you can hear me. Okay. This is a good place to be this morning. And praise God that for the way that he moves in our lives to continually draw us to him. Thank you, God. Thank you for being so merciful. So good to us over and over. When we look at ourselves and we say, no, we're not worthy, but because of Jesus, he makes us worthy, and he says, come. And so he has, we're here, and I am so thankful that I'm here to be with God, and he has drawn each of us here. You know, we may have thought, we got out of bed and got ourselves down here, but I'd be surprised if it wasn't the Holy Spirit working in our lives to bring us down here. So I'll thank you, God. A couple of quick things. I forgot the yellow sheet. You guys ever see that little yellow sheet that has the list of the directors? Yeah, can I have that for a minute? You're not going to get it back. So there's this little sheet here, right? There's this little sheet that has who are we? We're board members. Yeah, thanks. We're board members. So it lists all who the board members are. You can disregard it. We've got to make a new one. So here's the deal. We had three board members have resigned. Norma has resigned, and Charlene has resigned, and Chris gave me his resignation this morning, and we bless them and honor them and respect them and pray God's blessing on them as they go. Chris is here. You can talk to Chris. He's not mad at me this time. He's just, there's other things going on in his life and his family that require him to put his attentions, there rather than here. So we bless them. So what does that leave for the board? Well, we had two extra people on the board before, two extra positions. Hey, Ricky's here. Sorry. Just noticed my girlfriend is sitting here in church. Sorry about that. So we had two extra positions on the board, and so three people have resigned, and sooner or later, whether he likes it or not, Stan's going to be back on the board. So whether he likes it or not, we're going to make sure. But and when that happens, we don't have we don't have a set date for that or anything yet. But we're certainly working on that, and we're trying to, like, come on. Anyway, another thing. So that's it about board members. There's been some changes, and we'll get another little yellow sheet printed up. We'll get another little yellow sheet that's printed up that's a little more accurate or more accurate. And then, okay, Cheryl. Cheryl has, she's leading a class in the prophetic, and there's another spot available. There is a cost for it. So please see Cheryl. She's over here. She's waving her hand. Please see Cheryl. That's going to start this week. So, sorry? 6:30 on Wednesday. Here. And you needed a key. Did you get a key yet? Okay, Alvin, we got to get her a key. Okay, so please pray for Kim's sister, Janice. She is in palliative care here in Red Deer. Less than a year ago, Kim lost another one of her sisters, passed away. Bless her. Pray for her. Pray for Kim. Pray for her sister. So, yeah. And again, I just want to thank God for him drawing us here. Like we're all here to come and meet with God, and he wants to meet with us. And it matters not what your particular situation is. You know, you're maybe here, you're hurting, maybe you've got kids that are messing with your head, maybe you've got an illness, maybe there's a whatever, an addiction pulling you away from what you know is right. Maybe your finances are in turmoil. Maybe your home life is in turmoil. God is the God of peace. God is the God. He is our comforter. He is the God of joy. Praise him that he has drawn you here so that you can look to him and that you will find your peace and your joy and your comfort, your strength, your health. You're all in all in the mighty and the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, that for the way you treat us, the way you continually draw us to you. I thank you, God, that we're here. I thank you, God, that you're here and that you know us. You know what's going on in our life. You know, God, what we need of you. And I just ask, God, that your Holy Spirit would just brood and move among us here today, God. And let the Spirit of the living God fill our souls, fill our mind and our thoughts. In the name of Jesus, thank you. All right. So that we get Pauline, because Pauline, come on, we have Pauline preaching here this morning.
Okay.
So come on up, Pauline. There was a verse that came up a couple of times for me this morning, so maybe I should read it. It's out of 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. 3, 4, and 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Praise his name. God, I pray that you would bless Pauline this morning, bless him, and use him, speak through him, God, so that it would not be Pauline's words, but God, that you would speak directly to us, so let your Holy Spirit move through him. I thank you that you do that. I thank you, God, that you hear us. I thank you that you're here in this room with us, and I thank you, God, that you love us and you want to change us. Praise you in Jesus' name.
It's always good to be in the house of the Lord. There is no other better place other than in the house of the Lord, because that's what David says, the book of Psalms. If I get close to you, Lord, I enjoy peace. So today I'll talk to you a little bit about a passage from the scripture which every one of us is familiar with. And in fact, this is the most preached subject in the Bible. But even though it has been preached over and over and over again, there is always new thing from the Word of God. Other than the Logos, there is always Rhema. Rhema means something new that comes out when you are open to the Word of God. So if you have your Bible with you, or maybe we can see through the... If you have your Bible with you, you can turn to Mark chapter 5. And the title of this message is Jesus Heals a Bleeding Woman. Because this bleeding woman has the issue of blood. You might say today that I don't have any issue of blood. I don't have any problem with my blood. But I'm telling you, we, before we came to Jesus, suffer this kind of illness in our blood. Sin is very much like this. So there might be even some of you in the house today. There are suffering in one way or another, which is very much like this bleeding woman. So without much ado, let me just read this to you from Mark chapter 5, beginning from verse 24. Mark chapter 5, starting from verse 24. Until 34. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. This is a story within a story because Jesus is on the way to Jairus' house. Because Jairus has fetched him, asked Jesus to come with him to heal his dying daughter. So let me continue. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, I like that word, immediately. Doesn't take long. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, "Who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from
your suffering. That's the end of the reading, and may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. The key element in this passage is faith of this ailing woman. Talking about faith, I think it's very central in our Christian life, because without faith, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, you cannot please God. I know it is not only faith that is pleasing to God. If you live a holy life, it is also pleasing to God. If you give your heart to the Holy Spirit, it is also pleasing to God. But one of these things is about faith that says, if you want to please God, you have to live a life of faith. Over and over, Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. And the same thing God says to us here today, have faith in God. In fact, it's a way of saying, have the faith of God. See, faith is a gift. You're going to earn it. You are so destitute in your sin, and God loves you so much, and he gives you a gift, which is the gift of faith. That's why Jesus says, have faith in God, which is equal for saying, have the faith of God. We have been allotted as the children of God, each one of us, a portion or a measure of faith, so that we can do our ministry according to the gifting which is given to us by God. Many times, the disciples also say to Jesus Christ, increase our faith. In fact, it is not the measure, the bigness of the measure of faith that makes the difference. It is the size of the mustard seed that if you release that faith, that will make the difference. Romans 10:17 says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Not hearing the word of man, but the word of God. And that faith is something that is coming to you. While you are in a situation like this, you are open to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit uses the word, and that word will impart that gift of faith in your soul. Well, what is this faith? Is it a nebulous thing? Faith, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, it is the substance of thing that we hope for. And that's the evidence of things that we hope for. So again, let me make it clear that faith that we are talking about here is not faith of your own, but that is the faith that is given to you by God. Amen. It's only if we walk, we live by faith, and in the sight of God, then we can be called the children of God. For we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Now, talking about our salvation, I have not preached yet about this bleeding woman. I'm laying the foundation about faith, because faith is so beautifully demonstrated in the life of this bleeding woman. I'm talking about faith for our salvation. It's written in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved. Through what? Faith. Through faith. So this gift of salvation has been offered to you and to me by God, and you have to accept that through the hands of faith. So for by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It refers to faith. It is the gift of God, meaning that faith is the gift of God. And you are enabled to believe that you are saved by the blood of Jesus when he died on the cross. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast, the Bible says. I know faith is given to each one of us according to varying measure, because we have various gifts also to exercise in the ministry for the building up of the body of Christ. So let me go back to this passage about this bleeding woman. There are many nuggets of truth that we want to study together from this passage. According to me, this is the simplest illustration of faith as demonstrated by this woman. First, she heard the message. I said in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing. She heard the message. Somewhere out there, maybe somebody spoke to her that there is this man who can heal the sick, that there is this man who can forgive sins, that there is this man who can touch the impossible things made possible because he is the Son of God. So she heard the message, and she does not stop at hearing the message, but she acted. She approached Jesus. She made efforts. And after she acted, she reached out to Jesus. Virtue or dunamos or power, if you want to say it, power flowing out from Jesus to her. So after she heard the message, she acted based on that message, and then virtue released on her life because she made the point of contact by touching. I think we have prayed enough. I think we have heard the message also enough. But we have not acted enough based on our prayer and based on the message that we heard. Yeah. Miracle will only take place if we act based on the word that we hear. So we need to have, whoever we are in the house today, we need to have a simple childlike faith. Talking about this woman, she has a long-standing problem. Can you imagine for 12 years she has this problem? But in spite of the duration for 12 years, the Bible shows to us today that long-standing problems yield to the power of Jesus. You may have 1 or 2 or 5 or 10, even more, or 30 years problem. But if you reach out to Jesus today, the power of Jesus will solve the problem. No matter how long, a particular problem that you might face today will be rooted to the foundation by the power of the living God. And that's why I said when I read this passage, I like the word immediately. Can you imagine 12 years problem, but it can be immediately solved by the power of Jesus. So So never give up hope. Don't look always to the duration of your problem. For God, nothing is impossible. I do not want to say negative things about doctor when I read this passage, but when I read this passage, it says, this woman has gone to many doctors, hoping that she would get better. But in spite of all the efforts that she has done, the Bible says she grew worse. What's the problem here? We respect doctor. We have to go to the doctor. But all I'm saying is, healing does not come from the doctor. The doctor can only treat you, but healing is from the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it might be interesting if we made some survey. You go to the hospitals in North America, you ask the doctors if they can tell you that they could heal the sick. I think most of the answer will be, well, we cannot heal the sick. We can only care for the sick, and we treat the sick. But we have to respect the doctors. Again, healing only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he has paid for that, he died for that. And even for the people in the olden time, the Israelites, Yahweh, God declared to them, I'm your physician. I'm your Jehovah Rapha. I'm your Lord that healeth thee, the Bible says. The next point you would like to see in this passage is that it doesn't matter, just like this woman. She came from behind, not from the front, not from the left side, not from the right side, but she came from behind. But even though she came from behind, she got healed. Meaning to say, you don't have to be a student of theology. You don't have to be the son or the daughter of a reverend or a pastor, and then coming to Jesus Christ for healing, then you'll get healed. No, you can come from behind. You don't have to be in front to come to Jesus to get healed. Or maybe another way of saying that is, you don't have to be a person of importance to get healed. Just like this woman. She's always backward, behind, in every meaning of the word. But she got healed, even though she came from behind, because she reached out to Jesus, and then she touched Jesus with faith. As I said, very much like the switches of the lights that we have in this building, the power is already here. It is already all over this building. But all you need to do if you want to make this room bright is, you just switch on. You just touch the button. You just turn the switch on. And then light will come. Power will come. Same thing with this. I don't have to pray to the city. I don't have to say to them, oh, please, please, give me power. No. It's already there in your house. Same thing when Jesus gives us the power of the Holy Spirit, that power to heal is already here. And all we have to do is just to believe, or in that word, believing is you reach out to Jesus and you have a point of contact. What is the meaning of this woman touching the hem of Jesus' garment or touching the cloak of Jesus? It is not the hem or the tassels in that cloak of Jesus that heal her, no. It is only the point of contact to make the power in Jesus flowing to her body. So it is important in our Christian life. There is time for prayer, but you have to go also beyond that prayer. You have to make it, or you have to translate that into action. And I see this woman put her faith into action. When she got healed, and then the Lord Jesus insisted that the woman made an open confession. Why was that? He said, "Who touched me?" He's asking that question not to rebuke the woman, no. He's asking that question so that the woman can make an open confession, because only after she made the open confession, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole." I like the way when we have our service here, people come or invited to make or to give their confession. Because confession is very healthy and very good to the soul. It's a good practice. We have to continue doing that. Very much like this woman, she made a confession. And after she made that confession, Jesus said, "Daughter, healing has been hers, but on top of healing, Jesus gave her a bonus. If I call daughter, that means because I have my relationship, I'm her dad, and she is my daughter." And it is not enough for us just to be physically healed. Jesus will give us something on top of that. That is our relationship, our living relationship with Him or with God the Father. Talking about faith again, this woman pressed on to get to Jesus because of the crowd. See, sometimes it is ironical. The crowd is sometimes our barrier, even though this crowd follow Jesus. But sometimes this very crowd is one of the barriers for you to get to Jesus. That's why it is not enough to just follow, just like the crowd do. It's not enough. Just like this woman, she did not simply follow, because I know people can follow from the distance, which is much worse. So for us Christians, believers, it is not enough to just follow, but you have to exert more effort, you have to press on. That's what this woman did. She pressed on to get to Jesus. And she could successfully get rid of all her obstacles because of her faith. And that faith can break down every kind of barrier between you and the Lord, or between you and your desired blessing from the Lord. So today I would encourage each one of us, I would like to say, refuse to be stopped. Refuse to be stopped. Keep pressing despite the obstacles. Press on, press on, press on until you get your breakthrough. There are many things that a Christian can say when following Jesus. I mean, the negative things. They say, oh, talking first about the crowd, I'm in the wrong crowd. Well, this woman did not say that. Even though the crowd at that day that followed him were the people from Galilee mostly. So Galilean people, you know, that they are rough people. They are uneducated, unschooled. They are not civilized. Mostly they are sick. They are poor. They are destitute. They are despised. And they are ignorant people. But she did not say, oh, I cannot get the blessing. I cannot get my breakthrough because I'm in the wrong crowd. Praise God. This body of Jesus, this church, Jesus has died on the cross for you. He has given his blood. That's how much, how precious you are. Amen. So we are not in the wrong crowd. We are in the crowd of the queens and kings because we serve the living King. Many people would rather die in their sin because of their pride. Because they see the crowd first. Oh, that is not my class. I won't go to that church. I won't be in that prayer meeting because that is not my class. Why? They'd rather die because of the sin in their heart. Because they allow pride to come between them and their blessing and Jesus. Some are even like General Naaman. You know General Naaman? He is the captain of the Syrian army in the olden time. He needed healing for sure, but pride was in his heart. He was asked to go to the Jordan River to dip himself 7 times and he'll be healed from his leprosy. But then he reasoned, oh, I'm a general. Why should I go to Jordan? There's a much better river in my country, Abana or Papar, they call it, the name of the river. Me, a general, to dip myself 7 times? 1 time should be enough. See, the reason, our logic, many times is a barrier to the release of the power of God coming into our life. The second reason many people do not get their blessing from God is because of fear. Fear is not from the Lord. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, sound judgment. And this woman did not say, or she could have said, Oh, that's a big crowd. That big crowd is noisy. I can get easily nervous. I won't go. She didn't say that. She didn't say, oh, people are pushing around. I'm too fragile. I've been suffering for 12 years. But she didn't say that. She goes beyond. She goes past fear. In our life, as a Christian, we have to go beyond fear. Fear is not from the Lord. Fear, it agonizes you. And the third word I like to say is discouragement. Can you find any word in this passage that says, oh, I will stop doing my effort because I have tried for 12 years. I've tried everything, but nothing worked. She didn't say that. Many people, including Christians, they call themselves Christians, they resign to faith. They accept faith. Not faith, faith. They say, oh, this is my lot. Oh, this is my condition. I'll die in my lot. I'll die in my condition. I'll sit down until death comes to me, they say. And she did not feel sorry for herself. Many times when I'm in a very difficult situation, and this confession, I feel sorry for myself. I feel sorry. But this woman, she did not feel sorry for herself. Because of her former efforts are fruitless. See, for 12 years, all her efforts were fruitless. In spite of all that, she did not feel sorry. She keeps trying. In other words, she refused to quit. There are, yes, that's perseverance. Perseverance. Quitters are not in the kingdom of God. And I don't know what barriers you have in your life. You might have a lot of barriers. But whatever it is, be like blind Bartimaeus. When he heard that Jesus is coming on the road, he started screaming for help. And when he knew that Jesus is coming and he was being called, you know what he did? He threw his cloak. Because that might be the only thing of value was possessions that he had. So that was a kind of barrier to him. He threw away his cloak. His garment, in order to get to Jesus. May the Holy Spirit open our eyes today so that we may clearly see what are these barriers in our life. And may the Holy Spirit give us strength so that we can throw all these barriers and then we can get to Jesus. Oh, you talk about the weakness of the body? But I saw here in this passage, even though it is valid for this woman to say, my body was very weak, I couldn't get to Jesus. But she didn't say that. She didn't say, I'm too weak to push through the crowd to get to Jesus. Is it written in the Bible? No. What she said in her heart is, I may be weak in my physical body, but I will make one more little step so that I can get to Jesus. That one little step that you do today to come closer to Jesus, that's the one that is pleasing to God, because it shows you have faith in your heart. Even though your step may be faltering, that weak step, oh, God loves to see that weak step. Come to him. And she didn't say, oh, I have committed many, many sins. I should not go to Jesus. See, this is the voice of the feeling of unworthiness. She didn't say that. Many things, we say this in our heart. I've committed these many sins, so I should not go to church. I should not go to Jesus. I should not ask for his help. Feeling of unworthiness is the other barrier. Maybe you have got some failures in the past. Imagine this woman for 12 years, failure upon failure upon failure upon failure. She visits every doctor, the best doctor in town. She grew worse, meaning failure upon failure. But did it stop her for trying to come to Jesus? The answer is no. She could have said in her heart, in her heart, others may be receiving from Jesus, but not me, because I have called him before. I have tried before, and I did not see him coming, and I didn't get the answer. She didn't say that. So don't let past failures to be a barrier between you and God. I'll speak maybe one or two more minutes and then I'll stop. We'll have time. If you want to come to the Lord today, if you want to be touched by him, you reach out to him through your faith to enjoy the peace that comes from him. Because in the word, in the benediction, peace, daughter, go, my daughter, in peace, that will include also the healing for your soul and the healing for your physical body. So don't let past failures to come between you and God. The next thing is the feeling that it might be too late, or it was already too late. 12 years is long enough. But she said, no, it is not too late. Well, in fact, in the kingdom realm, in the spirit realm, that it is never too late with God. There's no word too late for God. Today, we still live in the age of grace. So it is not too late yet. You still have time. So come. While there is still time. Remember when Jesus showed his power over the dead body? He didn't say when Lazarus is already dead for 4 days, he didn't say, oh, it is too late. It's only Martha who said that. So even in the cases of death, Jesus did not think it was too late. And there might be several dead hearts, but it is not too late. That case is not too late for God. If you simply come to the Lord today. So don't procrastinate. Dare to touch God today. Dare to touch Jesus today. So if I ask you, what is your issue today? What is the issue that devastates your life? Are you desperate enough, like this woman, to come to do everything that you can do so that you can get your blessing? Be desperate in the positive sense. See, faith is desperate. As long as you can think at the back of your heart, oh, I can still do that, I can still get that, and then the flow of the power of God will not come into your life. So be desperate. Faith is desperate. Jesus is waiting for us to reach out and touch him today, just like the woman with the issue of blood. And let me say in closing that Jesus is concerned with your issues today. He's waiting for you. Let us pray, and then we'll open the opportunity. The pastors, elders, they are available to pray for you in front. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for the word that you have given to us today. You are the same God, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Your love never changes. Your power never changes. Your faithfulness never changes. You have shown your love and your power to the bleeding woman. And there are so many lives that are bleeding today. Only one thing that we need. If we can reach out and touch you through our faith, and then we'll be healed, we'll be made whole in every facet of our life. We pray the same dunamis, the same power is in operation in the house today, touching each and every individual needing your help, Lord. Our help only comes from you. You are our Savior. We pray this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.